Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's too cold outside. People in Nashville can't drive. Tickets are too expensive. My feet hurt. My favorite team blows. This is my primary complaint with a Midday 180.
Do you guys agree that most businesses now, instead of closing at 5, most people get off work around 6 on most days?
Certainly closer to 6 than to 5.
Okay.
Most people get where they're going after 5.
Agreed.
Even if they're working until 4:30 or 5.
My primary complaint with Claire and I being on the move, we've been calling electric companies, utility companies. They all close at 4:30. Who closes at 4:30 nowadays? No one can access you when they get off work. You have to take off work in order to take care of things for the move that I will be taking off work for later this week. I need you to stay open longer so I can visit you in person if you need documentation of certain things in person. That's my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
Been trying to make it to a governmental agency that closes at 4:20. 4:20.
This is all very precise.
Snoop Dogg running this administration.
This all seems very intentional,
very
also
precise.
On their part.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to avoid any business.
Yes.
We're not going to have to do a lot of work here because we're walking out the door when you're showing up.
Yes. Reed, go ahead.
If I could live in one television show for the rest of my life, that show would be Andy Griffith. I love Mayberry. I love Andy. I love Opie. Barney. Floyd, Otis, even Howard Sprague. But we live in reality. We don't live in Mayberry in 2018. There's been a rash of quote-unquote break-ins in my neighborhood of kids rummaging through people's cars and stealing items. But here's the deal. Look, I sympathize if you had something stolen. But if you're leaving your car unlocked in 2018, you have no excuse. You are inviting these hoodlums to our neighborhood. I've walked through our neighborhood. Everyone has nice new cars with power locks. I even have manual locks, and I manage to lock my doors every single night. If you're leaving your doors unlocked and someone's quote-unquote breaking in, that's a you problem.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
Those rascals.
It's funny, the piece of entertainment that Reed would want to live in the rest of his life is Andy Griffith's show, and mine would be Wolf of Wall Street. We're just so different that way. If I could live every day, living my best life. My primary complaint today, I have to be consistent.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. I've got to be consistent with this. I crushed Vanderbilt for wearing red, white, and blue uniforms when their school colors are, in fact, black and gold.
Yeah.
They did that at the biggest stage of their sport at the College World Series. And it was not smart. Because in the interest of branding, you want people to know what they're watching. And when I think of Vanderbilt, I think of black and gold. Very strong colors, great color scheme. Love the Vanderbilt uniforms. That's at the height of their sport. Germany, as a country, at the height of their sport in the World Cup, chooses to wear green jerseys. What about Germany is green?
Were they green?
They were green today.
I thought they were light blue.
I look up and they're wearing green uniforms against South Korea today. Why? On the biggest stage in the world, do you associate your country with some color that has nothing to do with your flag or your country's colors? Germany. GTFO. Are they out? Are they done with the tournament?
Right.
GTFO. That's my primary complaint.
This is Christian Andersen from the German media. It's a revolt against Chad.
My primary complaint, a frequent target of mine. I'd like to do a weekly segment on it.
Go on.
I talked about them earlier this week. Ticketmaster is one of the biggest scams in America. All right? I bought my soccer tickets. Came out to $15 a ticket in fees. After which, they say, Hey, 12,700 people have recently also bought event ticket insurance for $7.99 per ticket. If you can't attend this event for any number of reasons, like covered illness, airline delays, traffic accidents, if you're required to work and more, you'll be reimbursed for this purchase. I'm buying the ticket because I'm going to the contest. And now you want $8 to per ticket for me to have some level of insurance. It seems to me ridiculous. What else are they going to come up with that they could stack on top of here that conveniently is checked off at the beginning and you're charged for unless you're really paying attention and uncheck it? Ticketmaster, how about a deal for something once upon a time?
And they complain and complain and complain.
Primary complaints. Time to get it started.
I found it on their alternate green uniform. You can buy that in the youth size right there. That's the Germany uniform.
No, sure. Simon's not interested in that.
It's like a green turquoise type.
I call it seafoam.
Yeah. That's a good,
Seafoam. Wow.
Seafoam's a good description.
See, Vanderbilt's looking at that.
You know
Vanderbilt's going to say,
seafoam on the German flag, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Vanderbilt's going to look at that and say, hey, international countries are doing third jerseys. Back off us for doing a third jersey. We're trying to make a couple dollars. Yeah. They're making a lot more than that.
There's a couple of parody accounts that are tweeting me right now that are Vandy fans. See? If it's good enough for Germany, it's good enough for me.
If Seafoam is good enough for Germany,
it's a pretty color.
We will wear the red, white, and blue on
Sundays. It's terrible. The German colors are fine. I can look on the screen and say, oh, there's Germany. I didn't know who was playing. When it was on Germany and Korea, I was like, where's Germany? they're the green.
They sent a children's team out there to replace Germany.
615-737-1045, our number. It is time for primary complaint on the phones. And we start with Mr. Lebowski.
Yes.
Hey, dude.
Chad, Germany has a bad history of a kind of a dominating figure. They're just trying to soothe the crowd with a nice aloe vera color and let everybody forget that they didn't drag the entire world into two things they didn't want to get involved in.
Like, you know,
they're trying to make us less nervous, Chad.
Exactly.
If we wear this comforting seafoam color, people are going to magically forget about the Third Reich.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because you never know when they're just going to get bored and visit another country for a year. Well, okay. Fox's coverage of the World Cup has been less than desirable, and I'm as irritated as everyone else that Fox chooses to only report on players with the last name Ronaldo, but my beef with FS1 is a little more specific. A couple of days ago, Fox decided to run a lighthearted MTV Cribs-style romp through the personal vacation home of Joseph Stalin, starting the segment with "Say what you will about Joseph Stalin," and then calls him a polarizing figure.
Wow,
I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, polarizing figure. Charles Lindbergh was a polarizing figure. Mike Tyson is a polarizing figure. When you're responsible for the death of nearly 22 million people, you're just a mass murderer. So calling Uncle Joe a polarizing figure is akin to calling Pol Pot a failed hotelier. So, I know Russians, still think that the Kremlin Highlander has a fan base in the old Soviet Socialist Republic of vodka and pierogies, but it's hard for me to take Russians seriously when most of their population believes that the moon landing was faked. Okay, and comrades, I get it. You're upset that your country focused on launching monkeys and dogs into orbit while the United States was riding around in a dune buggy on the face of God. But let me get back to the issue at hand here. How tone deaf can Fox be? I understand that you're in a country that leads the world in shooting pesky reporters, tragic accidents by news figures, but how soft can you get? What are you going to spin next? That Russia is simply visiting the Ukraine for an extended spring break? I tell you what, Fox, I'll do you a solid. Let me set the scene for next week's whimsical look into USSR history. Open on a beautiful green field. A two-headed deer prances by. The smoldering ruins of Chernobyl lay cracked open in the background, and enter Joe Buck. Say what you will about the glowing river and the horribly mutated animals that have been picking off our staff. Pripyat sure is a hell of a summer destination these days. And Fox, when you produce that, I expect credit. Hit me up on Twitter, slot into my DMs.
Very good.
Mr. Lebowski. Well,
yeah, Stalin's DACA.
I also love when we get a history lesson from Mr. Lebowski like that for a lot of people out there.
It was a questionable decision.
So Kyle Smith, who pitched for Vanderbilt and is a fellow Mount Juliet alum like me,
Hello,
tweets
Kyle.
In and he says, listening to Primary Complaint, Fellow MJHS Golden Bear at Withrow Zone mentions at Vandy Baseball wearing red, white, and blue on the biggest stage of the College World Series. Our 2014 National Championship dog pile were wearing black jerseys. The red, white, and blue jerseys were vetoed the next year they were in the World Series for branding purposes. To which I say,
bravo. But well, they've backslid since then.
So we've changed on this show. We changed the sounds, color scheme.
They went away from the puke.
And because of my complaining, the next year Vandy came back and won the College World
Series.
Now
the tweets will definitely roll in.
Because in part they were wearing black and gold.
Michael Burgett on
Twitter.
You're
welcome, Vandy fans.
Michael asks, Chad, what happened to Withrow complaining about a certain business that you had documentation that you previewed about yesterday?
Continue. You've said it all.
I like the detail.
You've said it all, except you've said none of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people asking questions about that. Here's what happened. They refunded us last night.
They gave a terrible response to our complaint.
We then gave them a response that essentially said, not only will we never visit your business again, we will tell everyone we know not to frequent your business. They then responded and said they were going to refund. So I decided to back away.
Hair Metal Henry is next up. What's up, Henry?
Boys, I hope the weather holds up for you for the Pedal Tavern.
Thank you.
It's a rain or shine event.
I was going to say, I'd hate for you to get caught in the rain doing a whole half mile an hour down Broadway. My primary complaint is for really stupid marketing phrases to try to make you look a little bit more pretentious than you think you are. One is farm to table. Yeah, I'd kind of prefer you bring my food to the table. Where else am I supposed to eat? At the urinal or in the sink of the bathroom? Artisan. No, you're not an artisan. You're baking bread at Subway and overlapping some pickles over some turkey and cheese slices. And my favorite of all is handcrafted, such as handcrafted cocktails. Well, what the hell else are you going to make them with, your feet? I'll tell you what, if I can find somebody to make me an old-fashioned with their feet, I'll tip them $10 every drink.
Tom Cruise can do it in cocktail. If he would have been up for that challenge.
I'd have given him $10 every time.
Thank you, Henry.
Handcrafted cocktails.
Hair Metal Henry brings it.
This cocktail's not
every time he brings it.
He's so omnipresent.
Ricky is next up. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, guys. So my complaint is directed at the new, I guess not new, but the newly named AMC Theater in Cool Springs. Overall, it's a nice experience. It has, you know, it made me want to go see a movie because they improved the seating in it and that sort of stuff.
Is this just the old theater they revamped?
Yes, it's the Carmike, but now it's over AMC. But you go in, I went to a 1 p.m. showing for Jurassic World. You're paying $12 and something cents for a matinee, which it used to be like $5 to go at 1 o'clock. I usually, like most people, bring in my own food, but I was feeling a lot rather parched because it's super hot outside. So I was going to do a drink. I'm going to swallow the fact that I'm going to pay $6 for a small drink. And I'm okay with that. I did it. I asked how much would it be for a drink and a popcorn. It's like $16. I said, no, I'll just do a drink. Then when she hands you the receipt, this theater now has the audacity to put a tip line at the bottom for handing you an empty cup that you go fill yourself. And it made me so mad. Something like poor people, not poor, but people who are going in who feel guilty and feel like they have to tip whenever they see a tip line. And now AMC Theater is having a tip line at the bottom for their concessions when they either hand you a box of chocolate or a scoop of popcorn or an empty cup in my case. And I just can't fathom who thought it would be a great idea, even though it probably is a good idea because they're probably making more money now, for a tip line for that job. And that is my complaint at that movie theater. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ricky.
The tip lines are becoming out of control.
I actually now I have a great deal of respect for places, and I wish I could think of two because I've remembered recently there are two. I think one may be Zoe's, where I eat a lot. That does not have a tip line for on their receipt, on a cash register at the front. You know, order your food, get your food at the front. There's not a line for a tip on there.
If you're on the line with us, we're going rapid fire for primary complaint in order of in which you called, and we go next to Catfish Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. I had one earlier, but ever since Paul's horrific attempt at a German accent. It's got to be Paul's horrific attempt at a German accent. I don't know what that was.
This is Christian Andersen from the German media.
Whatever it was, it was an abomination of whatever you're trying to do, man. Y'all have a good day. That's my primary complaint.
Thank you, Jake.
Listen, I come from Stalin's Dhaka,
and you're not like my German, I send you to
your
Siberia.
German and your Russian are very similar.
Just stick with
Eastern
the Russian.
Europe. East Germany.
The German Eastern. Media.
The German media.
He says the German. Svedrik Christian Anderson, Anderson. The German media.
Anderson.
Sean is next. Hey, Sean, thanks for waiting. Sean,
hey guys.
What's up, man?
Yeah. So a little footnote to Chad's complaint about the uniforms. Not only was Germany wearing green, but South Korea, whose flag I believe is red, white, and blue, they were wearing red and black, which are two of the colors of Germany's flag.
Yeah, it was. Someone was crushing
it. Hey, look for the Asian guys in that game. Here's a secret.
Yes, yes. The people are all over that. You couldn't tell the difference between Germany and South Korea without being overly racist on this. After watching for 60 seconds, yes, I could tell.
Is that racist?
But when you're looking at 22 people on a field, and one, both flags, by the way,
you can tell what country they're from.
Both flags feature red. Neither feature seafoam green. You see one team in red and one team in seafoam green. I couldn't tell right away which was which. Sue me.
If Germany had only won that game, maybe they would have gone back after the World Cup was over and said, you know, we need to incorporate seafoam green into our color scheme.
The guy just hung up. His complaint was mild salsa, by the way. Sort of thought it out there. Yeah, I was really interested in hearing his complaint.
He wanted mild salsa at Chipotle, but he got something else instead.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
That can really ruin a day, though, if you're wanting something not maybe the greatest complaint.
As much as I pay at Chipotle, if you mess up my order, absolutely it's going to ruin my day. You
better believe taking that back.
Has Chipotle bounced back?
They ain't got no coupon.
They're expanding
Chipotle
their menu.
Chipotle never went away.
Oh, it went away.
Yeah, it went away briefly.
You didn't remember all the E. coli?
I kept going. It was just fine.
Yeah, prices were just cheaper for a little while. That's all I know.
I'm telling you right now, I would still frequent the 21st Avenue Chipotle by Vanderbilt's campus, and there was no sign of decline. Every time I'm in there, 3:30 in the afternoon, it was fine. There were people everywhere.
I was turned off one time when the corn was frozen.
Yeah, that's not good.
Frozen or not frozen, corn and Coke. Eric is next.
Dr. Pepper.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. My primary complaint is this. One of the things, and this has happened to me with both family and friends, and I don't mind if we go to a restaurant, if I offer to pay for your meal up front, or if you let me know you don't have any money before we sit down, and I'll pay for it. But don't wait for us to go through the entire meal, the bill comes, and then you say, oh, by the way, I don't have any money, and you put me on the spot like that. I'll tell you what, to me, if those type of people are also people that probably don't tip. But I just, that's the one thing that just really burns my buns.
You need to find new friends, Eric. You need to find new friends. They're taking advantage of you, whoever this friend is.
Burns his buns.
I told him the same thing, but he said it's also family doing it too.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric.
Eric is just the nicest guy in the world. And he's having his buns burned over that.
TJ. What's up, TJ?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, first-time caller, love the show.
Thank you for calling.
Give a quick shout-out to Chad. I was the freshman coach at Mount Juliet whenever you were a senior, and I remember what a good ball player you were back in the day.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, you may be the only one. They say you're only as good as the last person who remembers you, so I appreciate that. You may be the only one that remembers.
And my complaint is, I don't know if you guys have seen this commercial for, there's a thing called the Foundation for a Better Life. It's like a sportsmanship thing, and they're playing this basketball game, and the ball goes out of bounds at the end of the game. There's just a couple seconds left on the clock. The referees award the ball to this blue team or whatever. Blue team calls timeout. They go over to the sideline, and one of the kids on the blue team is like, I touched it, coach. I touched the ball before it went out of bounds. And then, you know, the coach is like, son, I'm so proud of you. He goes and tells the referee. Then they change the call, and the team loses the game, but this is supposed to be some kind of sportsmanship lesson. And it drives me nuts, because obviously whoever did this commercial has never played any kind of organized sports whatsoever. Like, that's just not how it works. You know, you don't say, hey, by the way, I touched it. And then the referee's, like, magically going to be like, oh, you know what? Never mind. I'll
we're reversing that call.
Let me go the other way on this. I'm in eight-year-old baseball, and there are some missed calls occasionally. And we will say, like, in favor of the other team. No, that ball, the coach will say, that ball hit him while he was in the box. It's foul ball. Mm-hmm. And the umpire will say, no. And we'll say, yeah, it hit him. It was a foul ball. He should be up. And they refuse to overturn.
Really? See, and that's what I would think, though. Like, I know the exact commercial he's talking about.
They shouldn't refuse to overturn.
But this is like maybe 12-year-olds, and the kid's like, yeah, you know, it was out on me. And the ref's like, okay, right away. I mean, that I don't know that would happen.